Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery. Code Wondery.
Welcome to the Nerds Podcast number 692. So we're going to do the community corkboard now. Katie Levine is sitting to my left with her phone in hand, ready to tell us.
Someone, they didn't write their name, but they want to promote their podcast called Superhero Speak. And it's a podcast about comic books and comic book related media. And you can find it at superheroespeak.com/WP. And your mom follows them on Twitter, they said, which is at Superhero Speak.
My mom will follow you on Twitter, by the way. If you go to Nerdist Mom, she'll follow you on Twitter.
Also, I want to say that we're going to have a Nerdist Podcast panel at Comic-Con again this year.
Yes.
And it's going to be moderated by Jonah. I think Matt will be there too. And then Pete Holmes, Emily Gordon, Kumail Nanjiani, 12-year-old Gil will be there.
That's huge.
Sex Nerd Sondra. Yeah.
And what day is that?
It's on Friday, July 10th, and it's at 4:30 p.m. at the Horton Grand Theater.
Fantastic.
And I'll give more info about how to get tickets to it or how to get in.
On the Comic-Con tip, I'm doing stand-up Friday night at the Balboa as part of the Fun Comfortable Tour. The winner of the Totino's Favorite Comedian Contest, who is on the stand-up cluster, mm-hmm. which we're going to post very soon, he's going to be there performing, and there will be a couple of surprise guests doing sets on that Friday night. The show's at 7:30, I believe. Then Saturday night, we're doing two live podcast shows. The first one is at 7:30 or 8, and then the next one is like around 10. But if you go to funcomfortabletour.com, you can get ticket links and information for that. This episode is Lauren Lapkus, who is a brilliant improviser who's been on At Midnight before, and she also happens to be in Jurassic World right now and a bunch of others. She's been on Orange is the New Black. She's has her own podcast, and she's a brilliant, brilliant, brilliant comedy entity. And so much fun to have on. So she's on a new show right now called Clipped. It's on TBS, Tuesdays at 10 p.m. on TBS and TBS.com. That's number 692 with Lauren Lapkus.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Stopped by police. Apparently, she was on the freeway.
Sorry, my 20-year-old cousin is visiting.
Just the one that immediately asked you where to get weed.
Yep, and this is also the one that she was gone for 3 hours, and I texted her. I was like, "Where'd you?" She was like, "I'm gonna go walk up to like Hollywood Boulevard," and then I texted her. I was like, "Where'd you go?" And then she sent. I just got a picture from her smiling in front of the psychiatry museum, and she's like, "I went to the psychiatry museum. It was the best."
So oh, no, well, that's a Scientology
yes,
thing.
Yes, it is.
So your cousin's now a Scientologist.
Oh, no.
No, but anyway, so this morning she was like, "I'm going to walk to the beach." I'm like, "No, you can't walk to the beach. I live like a half mile from here."
That would take 5 hours.
So,
but like I was saying, technically she could.
Yeah, I mean, you could. It would take 3 hours and 48 minutes to walk there.
Quicker than driving.
So she took my eyes. She's like, "Well, how am I going to get to the beach?" I was like, "Well, you can take a bus to the beach. It'll take an hour and a half." I was like, "I would drive you, but I have to be at this podcast at noon." And I didn't even think of that. But I was like, she's like, "Well, can I take your bike?" I was like, "Yeah, take my bike." And then I got a text from her mother that said she's the text was, "She's lost on a bike on the freeway crying."
Oh my God, why'd you get on the freeway?
LOL.
Do you think like her Google Maps was like, go on the freeway?
I don't know if she hit bike route or whatever. And then she's like, and then the next text I get is she horrible. Got stopped by police. They searched her.
Because that's insane.
And she's at some Taco Bell.
Oh my God. Jeez. What day?
Every specifically by the way, signs. Every inch of that story is sad.
She said, call her when you can to give her directions. The police drove her off the freeway.
Oh my God.
So I'm going to go take care of that for a second and then I'll be back.
That's so sad.
Matt, go rescue your cousin.
Wow.
That's insane.
This is why people hate Los Angeles when they visit it.
Yeah, because like they don't know what happens. They're doing.
Well, it's just that you can't, LA, you cannot treat it like a regular city. Don't use public transportation.
Right.
Public transportation is great.
The subway is cool.
Yes.
But the bus systems are all fucked up.
Well, yeah, I told her, I was like, here's the deal. If you're going to ride the bike to the beach, which is something I do all the time, but I ride the bike all the time, I was like, you go to Venice Boulevard, ride down to Venice Boulevard because they have a bike lane.
Nice and wide bike lane.
I just want to picture the moment where she's getting on the freeway and merging with cars. Like how
that's a lot of leg strength to go up those ramps.
Yeah.
Anyway.
There's like so many points where you could turn around.
Yeah, exactly.
Go rescue your cousin.
There's so much debris on in this bike lane. So many hubcaps.
I'm going to guess which Taco Bell she's at. I'm going to say it's probably the one on Venice, right? The one that has by the Starbucks and the Wendy's?
Should we put down bets? I don't know. Maybe.
That's what I'm getting.
I don't think maybe. She made that
you think
far.
She got that far?
No.
I hope so.
Yeah. She's probably like off Crenshaw or something like that.
He should go get her.
right now. Well, the good news is he won't have to take the bike home.
Yeah. My trip to LA was a lot like Adventures in Babysitting. Nothing went right.
Crazy. Oh, what a fun reference. That was a fun movie.
Fun reference. Me and Kamel and I broke down the fact that all my references don't go past the year 2000. It's I don't know how to reference anything past that year.
Blaine Kapach can't go past 1989.
Yeah.
I can only reference two movies.
What's that?
And they're big and 13 Going on 30.
Those are very similar.
And like Little Mermaid.
Yes. Oh, very similar too.
Big
it's all people
and 13
shifting
Going on 30. Yeah. So two like severe body changing.
Yes,
movies.
That's all I care about.
Which did you prefer, one or the
big
other?
Big is my favorite, but 13 Going on 30. I also like 17 Again, but
17 Again is a very underrated movie.
Yeah.
I think that's when I fell in love with Zac Efron.
Yeah.
I was like, I get it now. Mm-hmm. This guy's legit.
Oh, that's not the one I thought it was. There was the 18 Again,
18
I think
again,
was the one
with Patrick Dempsey and George Burns.
Oh, I've never
Burns.
Seen that. Is that
no,
a body
I don't
switch?
Think it's I don't think it's Patrick Dempsey. I think it's Charlie Schlatter.
Poor man's Patrick Dempsey.
Hey, come on. His dad was George Schlatter. He produced all those old comedy specials.
Yeah, so 18 Again is an old man turns into a young guy. He's 81 on his 81st birthday, turns into a young guy. It was around the same time as like Father Like Son when there was Body Switch movie.
Yeah,
and,
that was
and
that,
Vice
that,
Versa.
You know,
well, I don't know Vice Versa.
Like Vice Versa was Fred Savage.
Oh, I want to see
Reinhold.
That. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and it's like Judge
was it like
Reinhold's
a cool kid and a nerd or something? Or what's
No, it's like a dad and a son.
Judge Reinhold's that much older than Fred Savage?
Yeah, well, he was probably like 15 years older.
Yeah.
But it was like basically it was like the best opportunity for Fred Savage to just like – or for Judge Reinhold to just be a wacky kid.
Yeah.
And like – you know, there was a curse on like Father Like Son because –
this is the urn.
Because now Dudley Moore is dead and Kirk Cameron is a fucking crazy.
He might as well be dead to me.
Dead to he's dead to you.
Yeah.
But we're here to talk about Lauren Lapkus, who has not been in any type of body switching comedy yet. And I guess you'll just have to settle for one of the most successful movies of all time.
Okay.
At this point.
have a bit of humility, please.
No.
You were in a... You really were... Like, you know what was great about you in Jurassic World is that was a part that... it's one of those things where you could have been cut down. And you weren't. You're in a shit ton of the movie.
Yeah. I didn't know if I was going to really be in it a lot. So I was kind of like, oh, I'm in it. Like, you know, we'll see. And
well, you even had the helicopter shot.
Oh, that was exciting. That was my first day. So I was like, help.
You were part of one of my favorite moments of a movie. And now that so many people have seen it, I feel like it's not spoiling it. But it's when he goes into kiss and you're like, I have a boyfriend.
Oh, that's
such
great.
A fucking fantastic moment.
Yeah. It was really fun.
Did you guys improv that? Or did
We did. The dialogue was improvised and it was originally scripted that we would kiss.
Right.
And then they added their kiss in to the movie. They weren't going to kiss initially, like Chris and and Bryce's characters. Right. So I think it was funnier to have us not have that moment.
It
at
was
the end.
Such a good really moment.
Yeah, yeah, I'm
that
happy
got
that
a
it
huge
worked
reaction
out
in the theater.
They, cool. they played it. Colin played it so like the it was that moment was it just hung for a second.
Yeah,
yeah. Such a
the
good
tension.
Moment. Yeah.
Yeah, it was
yeah.
fun.
But you never talk about him.
It worked. Meanwhile, hundreds of people are being ravaged by that. But congratulations.
Thank you.
That's really crazy.
Thank you.
Have you noticed any effects? I mean, have you felt the effects of being in the number one movie of a long time?
Not really. I've gotten a lot more Instagram followers, but that's sure. about the only notable difference so far. So, I mean, it's kind of cool. But my family, I've gotten texts from people I haven't spoken to in like 10 years, so that's been interesting.
Asking for things?
Yeah.
Hey, can I come?
Give me money.
Can I have money?
So I made about $1 trillion. Can I break me up a piece of that?
Yeah.
Can
oh, that's not how it works, yeah.
No, I saw the numbers.
Can you introduce
I
me?
Read Entertainment Weekly.
Can you introduce me one of them pterodactyls? That'd be really rad.
Yeah.
That's not real. You're a bitch now, Lauren. Yeah. What happened? You should
changed.
Be cool.
Yeah.
No, it's just there aren't pterodactyls. Old Lauren would have said there were pterodactyls. No, she wouldn't have.
No, that's dumb.
You lost your whimsy.
Are you coming on at midnight soon?
Yes, I am. Yeah, with people from my cast of my show, Clipped.
Yeah, oh, that's next week.
Yeah. So it's going to be Ryan Pinkston, Ashley Tisdale, and me. So
there's a nice big billboard for Clipped up on Sunset Boulevard.
Yeah,
really
I haven't
nice.
Gotten to see that, but I'm excited about it.
How's George Wendt?
He's awesome.
God nice. Damn it.
He's amazing.
That's what you want to hear.
He's so cool. Yeah. He's like very funny. And like
he's from Chicago, right?
Yeah, and he was like a Second City guy. He's got a million great stories about all that old stuff.
That's awesome.
It's awesome.
Did he like that about you? Like that you came from improv? And
yeah, there were a few of us in the cast who are improvisers, so we all like geeked out over George.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
You guys have to do, please, if you ever, listen, I'm offering you this. You don't have to take it. But if you ever want the Nerdist space at Meltdown, if you guys and George Wendt just want to come and do games one night, just
oh
to
my
fuck
God, that would be fun.
I think just as a cast, it'd be really fun. And I think,
I think a lot of people would love that in my cast. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Please let me know.
Idea.
Cool, yeah.
And then George could just, you know, like if he's there, like, oh, hop
yeah,
up.
Yeah, oh, George, I guess you could just play or whatever. No big deal.
I think the thing about improv for me is that the longer you don't do it, the scarier it gets.
Yeah, I think that's true for sure. I haven't really taken any break ever in the last like 12 years of doing it, so but I've seen that happen to people where they take a few years off and they're like, I don't want to get on stage, but I think it comes back
to you.
You
in your head and like you like never know when to jump in.
Yeah.
I've seen that happen on so many like improv shows where you can tell the person that like wasn't there the week before.
Right.
Or, you know?
Yeah, it'll get a little rusty.
Yeah.
I mean, what you should not be thinking is if you know you have an improv show coming up is going, oh my God, what am I going to say on stage? Like, you shouldn't be having that.
The worst.
That is. You saved her already?
Yeah.
How did you do that?
Well, listen, the cops...
Which Taco Bell?
I'm at the Pizza Hut.
Taco Bell.
I'm at the combination
Pizza Hut and Taco Bell. Fever. Pico and Bundy.
Okay.
Yeah. So
she
she's
got pretty
West
far.
Got very far.
Was that all on the freeway?
A lot of it was on the freeway.
Oh my God, I'm so scared.
Like just riding on the shoulder?
I
bet this is going to come up on LAist.
You could,
right?
You could like fall off the side of the freeway. Couldn't
I would never ever like... think to approach the freeway. A, it's not legal in Massachusetts, so I don't know where she got the idea she could go on the freeway.
Yeah. Fucking millennials,
right? Oh, they can do anything they want.
They think
no
they can
rules.
Do anything. They can get
and
on any
can.
Freeway.
That's the worst.
Damn it.
She got really far. It went well.
It went well for her. She'll do it again. She'll hear her fucking young friends.
They heal up real fast.
Fine.
Bunch of Wolverines.
Fine.
They're just Wolverines.
Oh, is she still going to the beach?
Yep.
Fuck,
she's like, listen, I made it this far. I'm not going to turn around.
Like, might as well relax
she's not,
a little bit.
Did I mean, she's still got a ways Bundy. To go.
No, she's got like 20 minutes, I think, on the bike from Bundy.
You think so? That's still a good 35, 40 blocks from the...
Yeah, the bike. Well,
how do you not... You're riding your bike on the side of the freeway. How do you not like flinch every time a car barrels
yeah,
by?
Cool.
Also, like, I've been driving in a car and a large truck has gone by and you feel the wind hit the car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, I can't
it
imagine.
It would knock you over.
Things going...
What did she learn
so
at that psychiatry place?
I am an invincible alien.
Yeah, they're like, you can do anything.
And then she went to the next day she's like, oh, I went to the Scientology building. And I was like, what? She's like, they tried to sell me a book for an hour. And I was like, did you give them your name? She's like, no. I was like, okay, I don't believe her.
My name is Dori Shafrir.
No!
Or maybe she didn't make it. Oh. Ghost cousin.
Ghost cousin in my house. But she said the cops told her to go down Pico. And you'll get there. You'll see the beach. And I said, the cops are correct. Go down Pico. If Bundy's behind you, head towards where you see no
trees. How's she going to get home, though? She can't bike back the whole way.
Oh, she shouldn't.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I'll pick her up eventually when we get out of these podcasts.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's...
I figure she's got a good... 6 hours of fun over at the beach. Yeah. You know, you
there's a Ferris wheel.
There's a lot
She's
to
got
explore.
A towel with her. I gave her a backpack.
She needs to come down from the experience.
Adrenaline needs to leave her body.
So she'll be doing a heavy amount of drugs between 26.
She like had a she had like a yeah. she had a towel in her hand too when she was gonna get on the bike. I'm like, what are you doing? I was like, put it in a bag, and I went and like emptied out a backpack. It was like, put it in here. I'm just glad there was nothing in my backpack.
Yeah.
Lauren, what was the stupidest thing you did when you were 20?
Oh my God, there's a bunch. One thing that was really dumb that comes to mind is I moved to New York after college for a little bit, and I got off the plane one time for coming home, and I got into one of those creepy vans you're not supposed to get into where they're like, do you need a ride? And and I was like, oh yeah. And he started taking my bag, and I felt bad about it the whole time. And I didn't have a smartphone, whatever. And so I got in this creepy dude's car, and the whole time I was like paranoid, like I'm gonna jump out. Like he was asking me really crazy questions, about his which religion do you think I am. He was a Middle Eastern guy, and he was trying to get me to offend him, and it was terrifying. And I was so scared, and it was really late at night, and I had no idea where I was or how we if we were going the right way or anything. And finally we got to my place, and he overcharged me by a lot, and I just got out and cried. It was horrible.
You take for granted most of the time that you're safe all the time, but it really doesn't take much to all of a sudden put you in an environment where you're like, oh my God, I could just die.
Yeah.
I could just be dead right
he
now.
He could take me anywhere right now and no do horrible things, and no one would know, and it's horrible. It was really bad.
Yeah, so don't get in those.
No, never do. And as he was putting my suitcase in, there were people looking, and I was just can I make it stop? And I just didn't. There were so many times where I just kept letting it happen.
Technically, they're not supposed to solicit for rides at the airport.
Yeah, it's illegal. Yes, what he was doing was legal, and he was a creepy guy, and it was horrible, and I was too...
But he made his money, you got to your destination, everything's fine.
It actually worked out great.
What if he's on a podcast right now going, one time I picked up this girl at the airport, and she was really skittish and weird, and it made me feel bad about myself.
Yeah. I just wanted to talk to her about religion.
What religion
I love. Yeah, real weird and quiet.
Yeah, I don't know, it's fine to not be into religion, but you could at least just have a conversation with
her. The way she cried. I think she was crazy.
Yeah, and then I got really nervous at the end. I just blurted out a number. I'm sure it was too much money, but I just
I hope that's his side of it. But I feel at that age, you just do things that you don't realize are dumb as you're doing them. Or you do realize, but you can't stop it. I could see myself being I'm on a freeway. How do I not be on the freeway?
What am I doing? That's crazy.
So dumb.
So are you shooting anything else right now? I mean, are you done shooting Clipped? Is it
yeah, we're
now?
Done now, and it just premiered last week, and so I'm just now I'm working on a new project that I don't know if I can announce yet, but
Star Wars.
Yes, mm-hmm. Just trying to be in all the big things.
she'll also be in the second episode of The Meltdown with Jonah Kumail.
That's true. Oh, cool. That was really fun.
That was a lot of fun. She plays my sister.
That
do you
really
has your air changed at all? The day, the Monday after Jurassic World opened to $500 million, did you call your agent and if they were like, oh, he's on another call right now, were you like, really? Well, is that other client in a movie that just made $500 million?
Yeah,
or do you wanna go fuck
yourself? I'm a total bitch now.
Lauren, he's on the phone with the beta raptor.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
Blue!
That's the real star of the film, I think we all know.
I don't want to do Candy and Hoda. Raptor, I told you were going to have to do this. There are not a lot of roles for raptors.
Hey, you're good at that.
Thank you. And then it turns out that Raptor was played by Emma Stone, and everyone's like, come on!
Again?
Why you gotta...
Did you guys think that was bad?
What?
That they cast her as that?
No, I know a lot of, I know a lot of people that look white.
Raptors.
Yeah.
And are raptors. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That didn't really bother me that much.
I thought that was a weird thing to get angry at. It's they raptor. Could have got someone that did have a bit of Asian heritage.
Let's have our own conversation over here.
What's that?
I'm so embarrassed of the joke that I made that I'm not.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
I'll never repeat it. I won't listen to this, so you got to tell me now.
I said Eminem is my favorite white raptor. Okay.
Oh, okay. It's nice.
See, that's exactly the reaction. Said it again.
Oh, that track.
Okay.
Chris, maybe the third time.
Comedy is the second time you say stuff is the funniest.
Yeah. Third time.
The white raptor.
Now it's good.
Yeah, yeah. But I thought that was kind of a weird thing. It's like, you know, yeah, people can get angry at the fact that it was kind of a weird movie, like a sloppy movie. But like,
yeah,
that whole thing was.
I just,
a bit dumb.
You know what I think? I think it was exactly what we were talking about on the Hostful the other day about Rachel Dolezal.
No,
I think white people do not have a say in whether or not it's offensive if someone plays another race.
That's
you're
true.
You're not in that race, yeah, so you don't get to say.
Yeah,
you don't get to say like that's offensive. It's like, well, but it's not. It's almost more offensive when people get indignant and it's not their family. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
That kind of drives me crazy.
Hey, like, we all part of the same fam.
We are the same fam.
Humans.
We're human on the inside, y'all.
Yeah. Mm.
We're all pink on the inside.
Ew.
I think.
Ew.
What?
I dig the point. I don't
when
like the delivery
said,
service.
When he said ew, it made me feel weird.
Jonah, ew, as a human, ew. I don't appreciate your reaction. That's not disgusting.
Oh.
But I'm a human too.
I'm human.
I get to make my own.
I thought we were all black inside.
Wait, what?
I'm rotting.
I'm in the strain.
No. Yeah.
It's your diabetes, Jonah.
Oh.
Well, you know, Jonah, you can get your diabetes medication for just a
who was that again? Who did that?
Wilford Brimley.
Wilford Brimley.
Yeah.
My favorite thing is a picture of Wilford Brimley at 50 and Tom Cruise at 50.
Yeah.
And Wilford Brimley looks exactly like Wilford Brimley.
He's like Tom a thousand years exactly old.
Like yeah, he's like aged so badly. It's really a testament to clean living.
Yeah. I guess it is. Yeah. Or Scientology.
Clear living is clear what living. I meant. Yeah.
Oh
clear
living.
Yeah, maybe your cousin should turn around.
Tom Cruise is still hot.
He is.
Oh, yeah.
No question about it.
No, yeah. No.
You're not going to get any argument here from these three fellas.
Guys, he's hot. Say it.
He's yeah, super hot. Nice.
You know what I can't stand is Chris Pratt, how hot he is.
Yeah, he's very good looking.
It's a bummer. It's like Katie, like when he was on the podcast, I couldn't come. And like I was like, how was the podcast?
Why couldn't you come? So hot.
Her reaction was like, he's so hot.
He is very good looking. Yeah, he's also very funny, though.
Yes, that's the bummer part.
I know.
Is that like he was one for us.
Yeah.
Like slubby
man,
guys.
You're attractive and funny and cool. Fuck you.
Yeah. Once he got ripped, I was just like, well, there's no excuse for any of us now.
Yeah, at least we still got Pratt, right, guys?
Yeah, yeah.
There was
you know what's funny? A lot of people, since the third season of Orange is the New Black has come out, a lot of people keep on saying, well, at least there's still Matt Peters.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which is, like, I think, great. Like, Matt Peters has filled their funny, like, slubby guy. But Matt Peters takes that as, like, are they saying I'm, like, a fat Chris Pratt?
I was going to say, like, how does that feel to be Matt?
No, he hates it, but Susan Burke's wife loves it.
Yeah. I think it's still nice. You're still saying that he's very funny. And,
exactly.
Yeah.
And he's incredibly funny in the new season.
He is great in the new season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this thing that you're working on that you can't talk about, what type of breadcrumbs can you drop around the subject?
It's like a thing where I get to do my own thing.
Nice. That's great.
Yeah, so I'm excited.
Yeah.
And I have like control in a lot of ways.
That's
so,
right. Yeah.
You're playing Janet Jackson.
Yes, how'd you know?
So great.
That's what I've always wanted.
On the new tour, which is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess
people are going to be very upset.
Really brings us back to that Emma Stone conversation.
I'm black, though.
Oh, okay. Yeah, if you say so, I can't.
I've always thought that.
Oh. Janet Jackson's not black. I thought she was part of the Rhythm Nation.
Oh.
Yeah. Don't air fucking
Farrell.
We should get you. We should get you a rope attached air horn over there.
Okay, but you're doing this like
a trucker, yeah.
But you're making an air horn.
Yeah, I modified it.
Oh, I don't know if you know that. I don't know if you know that, Chris, but those truck horns are air. That's compressed air. It's
but
fine.
It's not what it's thought of as a
they are?
Horn.
Yeah. I don't know that.
Yeah, well, now you know.
did you do that when you were a kid? Did you, like, go by and make them do the thing?
Yeah, my grandfather had a CB radio, and then you'd get on and just talk to random truckers
about
stuff. With,
that was the life.
With weird fun handles, like, this is the Ditch Witch, or whatever.
Ditch Witch.
Ditch Witch.
Well, that's a thing, right? I forgot. That's an actual thing.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it's a thing that you can buy on... at late night infomercials, like there's like a tiller,
uh-huh,
and then I think the Ditch Witch like cleans brush out of ditches,
It's
with magic.
Creepy.
Yeah, yeah. So that was a bad example on my part.
But how much liquid does it absorb?
I don't know. I don't know. So this thing that you can't talk about, you're shooting it now, or you've already shot
it? It's going to be shooting later this summer.
God damn it!
Yeah, I know. I feel like they're going to announce it soon. So I feel, but I don't know. I feel better just.
Is it your thing? Is it like your improv?
No, it's just me.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
Is it an animal, a vegetable, or a mineral?
No, I think it's clear it's a one-woman show.
It's in some ways something like that. I can't fucking
say. We should stop talking about it.
It's
just gonna...
It's boring that I can't explain.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
Sorry.
No, apologies.
Stop making me ask you questions about it. This is your fault.
No, but I'm doing Clipped, which everyone can see right now. That's been exciting.
That's good.
One funny thing that George told me about Cheers... I asked him, like, you know, we have like a hype guy. We do like a multicam show, so there's like a hype guy in the audience, and it's like really crazy the whole show that there's like blaring music whenever we take a break, and this guy like pumping everyone up. And I was like, did they have this on Cheers? Like, how did that work? Like, what was it? He's like, no, we had a jazz band. There was a live jazz band. So in between scenes, there would be like nice jazz music.
You're just
like,
giving Matt a boner right now because Cheers is one of his favorite shows, and hearing that they were playing jazz.
Yeah. I thought that was so cool. I was like, can we do that now? I feel like people would enjoy that. We're a sophisticated people.
Fucking classy.
Katy Perry blaring.
Yeah, that's such a fucking great idea. Like a live band.
I mean, isn't that awesome?
Yeah, it's great.
I love that. And they have like a warm-up guy too, like doing kind of crowd work or whatever, I guess. But yeah, I love that jazz band.
California so girls, chill. They're unforgettable.
Oh, that would be super cool if it was like a mashup.
Bikinis on top.
Just Katy Perry hits in the jazz band. Yeah, the warm-up guy is very important.
Yeah.
Because you have to keep a lot of people, especially the first season of a show,
totally,
because people don't know what they're coming to see, and they need to, someone has to focus them and hold them together.
Yeah. Yeah. And it does help a lot. I mean, the people get so pumped during the show. Like, they're dancing and like showing off their hidden talents and stuff. And it's like insane. You just look up there and there's like people
Of all the dark corners of comedy, I think warm up is probably one of the most difficult.
I would do so hard.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's.
Have you ever done anything like that?
I've had to do warm up. And
what's fucking. Why don't we kickstart a documentary about it?
About warm ups?
Oh my God. I think that would be really interesting, actually.
A lot of the, like, 70s warm up guys would go on to actually host game shows because there were so many game shows.
Oh,
and these
were
guys that couldn't. Like, I'm trying to remember, one of the first Family Feud guys was a warm-up guy for a sitcom.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and like some guys like, we should have him do it.
So you mean Ray Combs? I think Ray Combs was...
Was it Ray Combs? He was a warm-up guy that went on to...
Yeah, the late great Ray Combs.
Went on to...
Hang himself.
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah. Yes. Let's talk about that.
Okay, so like, how did he do it?
By hanging himself.
I believe in a closet. With
what? Okay.
I think you're right. Yeah. I think you're right. Where are you performing live then?
I do shows at UCB, so I perform on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays.
At the new space?
At the new space as well as the old space. I do Ask Cat, which we have on Saturdays at the old space and Sundays at the new space.
I still have not been to the new space yet.
Yeah?
Really?
It's nice. It's different.
It's different.
Yeah. It's like, it's nice because like the couches are nice and there's like beer that, I mean, there's always beer there, but I mean, it feels like clean and fresh.
Yeah. So wait, the Ask Cats at the new space are in the... Inner Sanctum area?
No, it's in the theater.
Oh, but they moved couches into...
Oh, no, I just mean for us, like in the green room. Yeah, like the green room's not disgusting.
Oh, for the performers, the new space is great.
Yeah, it doesn't smell bad. It's like clean and painted.
Well, yeah, because in the old...
You don't smell birds.
Yeah, that's it.
Like garbage,
The UCB on Franklin, the backstage area shares essentially it's basically like an indoor dumpster space with the restaurant and the coffee shop that's right, and all the restaurants that are connected.
Like barrels of used oil or
something. Like literally just disgusting
so
garbage.
Gross.
Yeah,
you need to warm up next to it.
There are open dumpsters in the back there.
Yeah.
And you can only get a few feet outside the where the green room is, where you start to feel like you're going to be attacked by worms.
Yeah, there's like sludge like coming down. It's it's so very gross.
But I think
it's so
that's
weird
good for
zip zaps off around some open garbage cans.
You know, though,
so
I think that's good for. I think in a way that's sort of good for comedy though, because I think like the grungier a place is, in a way, it's almost it frames, because comedy should feel a little dirty and subversive, and I think sometimes places that make their clubs really nice. It almost takes you out of the comedy context.
Yeah,
in a strange way.
I think that's true. I think people were afraid of that too with the new space, like moving over there, because it doesn't have that like cool underground, like you're
punk
watching
rock.
Something special type feeling. Like, it definitely feels more like a show in a theater. Like, you know, you're kind of separate from the audience.
You're pretty far away from the audience, which I know they had to do because of fire codes, but it is a weird thing to be so far.
It takes
far.
Away a little bit from.
But at a certain,
I guess especially from the Franklin Theater, which is just like
the
they're on the stage,
so
but
it's so everything's on top of everything.
But that's the opposite problem: is that the last couple years of Death Ray,
some of the shows weren't as fun because they were so crowded and you just had a tiny space and people were sitting on the stage,
Looking up,
with their necks craned up, and you had a whole cluster of people that didn't look like they were having fun because they were
they're
like,
so uncomfortable.
They're uncomfortable and weird, like right there on the stage. And I think that, even just on a subconscious level, the people in the back are seeing people in the front just look up and weird.
Yeah.
Like last year I did my first show there, and in it had been like a year and a half since I'd been doing a show there, and just like walking out onto the stage, those floorboards are really starting to go at the one on Franklin.
Yeah,
it's
old.
Yeah, I mean they didn't replace that stage from when it was the Tamron Theater.
I know. Like,
that's really?
Yeah, that was already there.
Oh,
and
weird.
They just built the back thing for the doors.
Yeah.
Aren't they trying to unionized 99 seat theaters now?
Oh, I don't know. What is this?
Someone was just telling me that that someone's trying to unionize 99 seat theaters, and
I love that that's a category.
And some of the
99 seat theaters.
In umbrechtum hovot sanctum. But then it's but part of the problem is the 99 seat theaters are like, if you do that, we won't be able to stay in business.
Yeah.
Cause
there's something nice about it being, I don't know,
being sort of like underground,
and
experimental.
Most of the staff is just kids not getting paid.
Right. Oh, no one's getting paid anywhere.
Nobody. Yeah.
But that's where you learn.
Yeah,
where you put the work in.
That's where you put all the
work. Yeah. I mean, I never cared about not getting paid. There was that whole like big outrage about it a couple of years ago, like last year, stand up versus improv.
But that was like for UCB East mainly, right?
Yeah, I think that was the big complaint, like stand up shows happening there where they don't get paid and stand ups used to getting paid everywhere. And so,
well, in New York in particular, stand ups actually do get paid.
Yeah.
You don't really get paid to do comedy in LA, so I don't think it would. I don't think anyone,
because you're always showcasing. Even it's
got
to be on.
So much I got.
Got to get wait
there
for that finger to just point at you. Yeah,
yeah.
You got to wait.
If you're not willing to get on stage for nothing, you're not a real performer. <What? laughs>
When you got it, you know, and you don't need money.
Warm yourself with your jokes at night. Yeah.
But I do think that was really surprising for like my family and everyone that was not a comedian in my life as I was like coming up in improv, and like you find out that no one gets paid anything. It does seem weird because you come, I mean, especially in Chicago, like the tickets are more expensive for shows, and like come and pay $15 to see a show, and you think that you don't know the performers are going home with nothing. It's a little weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, did your family support this, or were they like, Lauren, what are you doing?
They were cool. I mean, it was like, I started improv like in high school and college and stuff, so
That might be Obama going to WTF.
Oh, is he? He's going to land
on Obama
Mark's
going?
Roof.
He's doing Mark's show.
Obama?
Yeah.
The president?
Yes.
Are you serious?
At his house.
At his house.
Tomorrow.
At the Cat Ranch.
Are you?
Oh, it's today?
It's today.
That's literally him flying there.
Probably him flying over.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Why would they allow that?
Why not?
I don't know. I feel like he shouldn't have time.
No,
it seems
you're correct.
Weird to be going to do a podcast.
I think because of Mark, because he did the Air America for so long, maybe they're like, he's a political radio show host.
I mean, I it's going to be interesting.
Also, I think
we hear a lot about Obama's dad.
So so that's your thing, huh?
What are you, president or whatever?
Yep.
So angry.
That'll be really interesting. I had no idea.
Yeah. Holy shit. Everyone will listen to that ever.
I guess.
And that seems like, I'd love to hear him talk for a long time casually.
I just want to hear the 15-minute preamble to the episode.
Yeah, he talks about his cats for 20 minutes.
Now, here's the deal with this guy. When he came in, I don't know. I didn't know. I looked him in the eye. I don't know what I was thinking. But, you know, he kind of opened up a little bit. I don't know.
So who'd you come up with? Oh, well. Who are your guys? Abe Lincoln.
You know what'll be really
Ray Combs?
Fun or not fun for Mark is that is all of the pundit shows that dissect the fuck out
of
what happened when he did Ferns, when he did Between Two Ferns.
Oh, yeah.
Did people get upset?
Well, not only did they get upset, but like not only did, you know, the annoying people get upset, but they dissected it like it was like, why would he even be, this interviewer doesn't even know what he's doing. And like,
Do you not understand anything?
The answer is
the set literally falls apart. The set literally falls apart. And you're like, and even the set is not good. Yeah. Not structurally sound. He could have killed our president. Why would they just start over? Who is this man? He was a politician in some documentary.
That was a recent reference.
That was that. You're right. Yeah, that's
good
true.
Job.
It was a good movie.
What movie are you talking about?
The Campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Will Ferrell and Zach.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah. Is there anything that you have a specific career path? Like, do you sort of, when I get to a certain point, then I'm going to start writing my own movies and I'm going to star in the, like, do you have a grand plan?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I have a grand plan. I like how it's been going. I feel like it's random in a way that I wouldn't have predicted. Like, even just, like, Jurassic World is not, that would never have been something I would think that I would be a part of. So it's kind of fun to just let it happen. But I would definitely like to have, like, my own show or something, or like a sitcom. Or
Do you like the sitcom? Do you like
sitcom? I really do, yeah. I have so much fun. I actually really love doing multicam shows. I find it to be, like, the most fun.
Is it because it's pretty close to doing live comedy?
Yeah, yeah. And it's, like, I like the, like, kind of amped up energy of it, and the characters being a little bigger. Like, I have a lot of fun doing that. Yeah. So.
Do you get improv takes on the show?
We have a little bit, but this Max and David, our creators, like, they're super specific about what they want, and like we end up like they punch up jokes on the fly and stuff, and we'll like get to do that like in the moment, but not as much like improv within the tapings. But it's fun.
Do they work with you at all, like from table read to, do you get to suggest stuff?
Yeah, we've definitely like pitched jokes and like gotten them in and stuff, so that's cool.
Would you want to run your own sitcom?
I think that'd be amazing. I can't imagine, like, I feel like I learned so much with everything that I do about like how everything works, that right now that sounds so overwhelming and crazy, but maybe as I go on and start to like do more and more, that wouldn't seem so overwhelming. But
yeah, I think as long as you're lucky enough to get good network executives that don't start weighing in on stuff. They're like, why is the, you know,
taking
like,
away the fun?
Please just trust me.
Yeah.
You know, you hired me because you think I'm funny. So
I know,
just...
yeah. And I think that's a scary part of everything, how things get so, there's so many hands on everything and gets so changed from what it was originally.
That's why I'm actually very pleasantly surprised to hear that they let you riff on Jurassic World, because like a movie like that, then I'd be like, just shut up and stick to the script.
Dude, that's why Colin Trevorrow, our director, was so amazing, because he really like, I mean, he came from like an indie background, you know. I think that kind of influenced him a bit. I can't say for sure, but he let us like take time with our characters, like me and Jake. And I feel like normally that would be so by the book. Like, let's just get this done. Like, these are like the plot points that have to happen, or whatever.
Storyboarded when you're opening your mouth.
Exactly. Yeah, because it's specific stuff that we have to say, but he let us improvise. And like, there's a moment where Jake's talking about like my stepdad, and you know, he's got this whole little improv moment that was just Colin just let us have fun with it, and like. So I think that's so cool. I mean, like, he was amazing with that.
Yeah, and it's nice to see that film is taking chances, but because there's a lot of dudes who it's like, oh, they had like a really cool indie film, and then all of a sudden they're directing like a $200 million.
But yeah, set like with, you know, like James Gunn, Jordan Vogt Roberts,
too many dudes.
Yeah,
let's get some ladies.
We need women.
That's right.
Do you want to direct?
Maybe someday. That's not really something I want to do right now, though.
After she's show running.
Yeah.
After she's show running.
You want to direct the show that... Directing is a sweet... television directing is a sweet-ass gig.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially sitcom television directing.
No, I know.
Your schedule's amazing.
It's amazing. Yeah.
There's only so much you can do with four cameras.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's not, you're not up all night.
And no, you're just like, you so go awesome. There, everything's already set up. And it's like after a take, it's like, is that the way you guys usually do it? Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Well, it does seem to work that way with sitcoms, that like if you're acting on a show long enough, you get to direct and you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. I mean, I do think you figure out how it works. Just from
I'm sure. Yeah, 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 for sure.
Yeah. There's probably stuff I don't know, but.
Were you ever in
soon enough?
Yeah,
were you ever
I'll
in
learn
the touring
it.
Company? Did you ever go to the touring company?
No, I didn't do that. I no. The answer is no.
Because you guys could now. I mean, like, you in theory, you know, if the network was like, hey, we're going to, you know, you guys could just go on the road and do shows.
Oh, what, the cast, you mean?
Yeah.
Or like, oh, that would be fun. I mean, well, a lot of us do improv, so it could be kind of cool to do that. But, yeah, I don't know.
How many characters, I mean, when you're improvising, are you ever thinking in the back of your head, like, oh, maybe I could spin this off into a regular character? Or is it very disposable for you?
A little bit of both. Like, I do my own podcast, which is called With Special Guest Lauren Lapkus, and the premise is that the guest is the host and I'm the guest. So they come on and they decide what it's going to be and they make me a character. And so I feel like from my improv, I have, like, an arsenal of characters, but what's fun with this format is that I'm finding that I'm coming up with new stuff that, and it kind of is disposable in a sense, because I do one like hour with it, but then I usually don't revisit it because my next host will give me a whole new thing and they won't bring back like an old character in this, the way that this show's set up. So I find as I go on that I it's more disposable in a good way, because I'm pushing myself to like do new different stuff.
Honestly, I think if you want to be an actor, then having
she is Chris.
No, I'm not you and the in the grand sense.
Oh.
Yeah. If you want to be an actor, I think having a solid improv background makes you so bulletproof, because it's so much about being able to just be in the moment and listen. it would help you get through the audition process and help you. I mean, I can't imagine. I almost think, you know, like, fuck acting class. Just like just get some really solid improv.
That's
training.
What I said. I never took one, so I never took an acting class. But I think improv is the best for it because you do have that kind of blind confidence too, which really helps. Like from doing improv, where you're just like, anything can happen, and I'm not going to freak out or like, I don't know.
Get you also learn how to ground things too. When you do enough improv, at least long form. You know?
Yeah, and I think UCB really helped me with that because I started at IO in Chicago, and I only did characters for like the first 5 years that I was doing improv, and I never used my own voice at all, like my speaking voice.
Yeah.
And so once I got to UCB, it was like all about being yourself, and they'd be like, Lauren, why are you doing that? And I'm like, don't call me Lauren in the scene. I'm being a little
I want to hide.
But then I got used to that, and I think that helped with acting so much.
Did you ever teach?
No, I don't like teaching.
No.
Yeah.
How come?
I don't know. I feel like I think I've gotten better with it over time, but I have a hard time articulating like why something works or how to do it. I'd rather just do it and not explain it.
Yeah.
So I feel like if I were a teacher, I'd be like, just do it right.
Stop. So what you better did is wrong. So
yeah.
Try it right this time.
Yeah, just let's stop go sucking. Go. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I think I've done a couple like workshops. I've led workshops, and I've found like I'm able to explain it more than better than I thought. But it doesn't feel like a good fit for me. To teach.
A teacher, like improv teachers, especially, are like it's a certain type of guy. It's a real writerly brain because they're always so good. Every teacher I've had. It's like, you know, a scene will happen. They'll go, that was great. And then they'll just list off like 10 different ways the scene could have gone. Or 10 different like roots and riff off of those roots. I'm just like Chad, I forget his last name. Chad Carter.
Yeah.
He was like one of my early teachers. And like just to see him riff for like 5 minutes all the things we could have done was just amazing.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Here's 5 minutes on why you're all dumb.
Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of those guys are really good at that. And yeah. It does help you learn to hear those different ideas of where it could go.
Yeah.
I feel like that's not really my thing. Yeah,
especially in a business that's not historically awesome to female performers. Having that also in your arsenal of just knowing that, you know, no matter where you are in your life, you can be funny and that will always, should always win.
Yeah. It definitely feels good inside. But yeah, I think it's a good safety net. And like with acting, I mean, you know, there's definitely those moments where I'm like, am I acting well? You know, like,
cut, Lauren, what did you say?
You know, like when you're like, if you're trained like Juilliard or whatever, like people, like I'm sure they have like that background where they're like, I know my technique or whatever. And I'm like, I'm just thinking of sad stuff, you know? But, but I think with improv though, it is that feeling of like, I like that, just that confidence, like I can do anything, whether that's true or not. You have that inside of you, and you know, you're not afraid to take the risk.
But is that weird? Is it weird to, when you get onto especially a big movie, and they're like, okay, take 12, and you're saying the same thing over and over again?
Yeah. Like, what do you mean? Like, is that like, I want?
Well, just if you're improvising, it's like, you did it and you don't even have to think about it again. It's done. You moved on to the next thing. But sticking on the same.
Yeah.
To where you don't, like you said, I guess I'm doing this right.
Yeah. I think there's that feeling of like, at least you can kind of infuse the improv a little bit and changing it up and trying to find a different approach to the line or making it a little bit different. But yeah, I don't mind it as much. I actually like not improvising within scripted things. Like, I like sticking to the script. I feel like, I don't know. I don't feel as comfortable when someone like lets it. I don't know. I mean, maybe that's not true. I can improvise within something if someone allows it, but like, I don't necessarily do that myself without being told like, oh, feel free to improvise within this.
Right.
Like, I won't just like go off and like add a button to everything or whatever. Like, some people do that, but I don't know. It's not really my thing.
I think with some people it's sort of expected. But I think if it's not expected of you and you start doing it, then people are like, what are you?
Yeah. I don't want to be like annoying either with that, where it's like, I'll just riff.
Don't worry. I got it. I know a bunch of people agreed to these words specifically, but
did you read the script? Did you look over this?
I did. I got some ideas.
Ideas. I mean, we wrote all the words.
Well, just watch.
Just watch me. Leave me in with the thing. But you said exactly how that line is.
You do your thing.
Yeah.
You know there are people that do that though, like,
there are,
I want to show them how fucking awesome is it.
And I mean, it works for people too. I don't know, it's just not my instinct to like go off.
I can't. If I don't I don't have to audition. I mean, I don't audition for acting stuff anymore because it never really worked out. But being in those situations where you could just hear everything that was going on in the room.
Oh, like an audition. Yeah, when you're at the audition.
Oh,
it's the worst.
Oh, my God.
Mm. And you can hear how someone's doing it and you're like, oh, I was going to do it differently. Should I do it like how they did it? Or should I just stick to what I... Or are they wrong?
Or even if they're doing it poorly, you're still in your head about it because you're hearing it being done by someone else.
Yeah. Well, just like, I remember it was like up to me and one other guy for this part in a show. And it was like, you know, like co-lead. And like, I hear the guy doing his thing. And I remember, I never have confidence with anything I do. But I remember going like, nice try, buddy. That's the worst way you could have done that. And then he got the part.
Oh, wow.
But like, I was like, it's like, serves me right for like just shitting on that dude.
Did you go afterwards, did you go in and go, how about that guy's shitty audition? All right.
This guy seems like a dick. Let's do the other guy.
Yeah. It's the when you're auditioning, do you just go in and I'm just curious because I don't know how other people do it. Do you just immediately go into the material or do you try to like establish a rapport or say something silly? Or?
Yeah, I usually just say hi or whatever. And I mean, I don't try to like get, I hear people doing that too. And that actually psychs me out more sometimes when you hear people being like, how are you?
Like, I hate it when they know the casting director people. It's the fucking worst.
Jen, like, how's the baby?
You're like,
she knows her fucking baby. Never forget this.
Yeah, exactly.
That's so weird. And I mean, I definitely, you know, if you know the casting people, like I'll talk to them for a second or whatever, but I don't try to make a deep lasting friendship.
Hey, Jen, how's the baby? My baby's dead.
Someone did this to me. Wait, this was the worst fucking thing ever. I met this girl and I was like at this, like at a bar and she was someone's friend and then I was talking to her and she was like a writer and I was like, oh, what are you working on? She's like, oh, well, I've been busy. I took the last 9 months off or whatever. And I was like, oh, what were you doing? She's like, oh, I had a baby. And I was like, oh, that's so awesome. Congratulations. What's your baby's name? And she's like, well, he died. And I was like, I immediately started crying. And then I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm really sorry. That's horrible. And she was like, oh, no, I'm just kidding.
Oh, like, fuck you.
And then I couldn't stop crying because my brain couldn't catch up to what happened because it was so rude. And like everyone at the table like thought I was crazy because I didn't know anyone. I was just like crying with this girl that I just met. And I'm like, oh, no, it took me off guard. I didn't know what to say.
Are you sure you're okay? She just said the baby was fine. It was a joke.
Fuck you and you're not dead, baby.
It's like such a horrible joke to someone you just met.
That's a dumb joke, too. It's like... what's your name, Jack? Oh, hi, nice to meet you, Jack. I'm kidding. It's Jerry.
Oh, yeah, there's some people that don't...
She didn't have a baby at all, by the way. Like,
oh,
there was no baby.
That.
Oh.
That was even... the whole thing was fake.
Oh, see? Then the whole bit doesn't have any legs.
No.
I would say comedy is a sword, and not everyone should wield it, because some people just, like, clank, 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 stab, stab.
It was horrible.
Yeah,
but that's me most of the time, but sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah, my point is valid. But I mean, some people really think that comedy is I never understood
like
that.
Yeah.
Oh, so you just lied to me about your name, and that's funny because why would it?
Like, because now I look dumb or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
It's weird. I hate it so much. Same kind of people that do that joke are like same people that say like that's hilaire.
Who says that?
Instead of laughing.
Yeah.
Unless Alec Baldwin is introducing his wife, who else says that?
I've also heard guys go, "That's comedy."
That's comedy.
That's disgusting.
Yeah.
Well, they must be watching TBS.
Yeah.
Well, very funny.
That's funny.
That's funny.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, Andrew Savage used to have a bit about that where she would just go laughing because we were just saying the words of whatever you're feeling.
Yeah. Every once in a while at meltdowns, like there would be a laugh and Kumail will like start to make fun of it. Like, don't make fun of anyone's laugh. Like that TJ Miller joke. It's like, you know that sound you make when you're feeling pure unbridled joy.
God, I did that
it
once.
Sounds dumb.
I did that once.
I've done it before.
I was working on a sitcom in the 1900s and we were a few episodes in and there was an associate producer who was an older woman who was beloved because she had worked on a million shows and everyone just loved her and I didn't really know her that well. And her laugh sounded like this. Aha! And so
like she just caught somebody doing something.
Yeah, exactly.
She jumped out
there on the freeway with your bike. Yeah. Aha!
I never had a baby.
So we did this.
See?
So we did the run through in the afternoon for all the writers and the executives and everything and she was there and after like in the middle of the scene after one of the I delivered some joke and she just went aha and I go, who is sarcastic laughing right now? That's really not cool.
Oh.
And then there was just got really quiet.
No.
And she was just like, yeah. And then afterwards the executive producer was like, That was Meg, and that's just that's really how she laughs.
Yeah, you should hear her crying. Wah wah, wah wah.
Batman and Robin that's think cute. They can find me.
Wah wah.
Yeah, so I sent her a bunch of flowers.
Oh, that's nice.
I was like, never stop laughing. Which I felt so.
Is that what you wrote?
Which is even worse.
That's amazing, you piece of shit.
I was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I meant
never stop laughing. You fucking asshole.
But I thought I was
right on this. I guess so. Never stop. Could you? Yes. No. That's what I want to write. I think.
Sorry, I said you sounded ridiculous. What am I supposed to say? What was I supposed to say?
I am such an asshole. I'm so sorry for the misunderstanding.
He essentially wrote that.
Yeah.
I am such an asshole. Yeah. Yeah. What was your other option? You do you.
You do you, boo.
Yeah.
Oh, God. God damn it, Chris.
It's just... It's your that's like
I was
dying
younger
words.
And stupider.
Never stop.
I did something like that.
No, you know, truthfully, I was kind of being like a fedora nerd, like, never stop laughing, m'lady.
Yeah.
No, I know.
Yeah. What was your... What
no,
was your...
I did one like that a little bit. Well, it's not that bad, but no, there was. I was doing a show like this was like 2 weeks ago, and there were these girls in the front row who were screaming. Like they weren't laughing; they were like screaming anytime something happened. Like ah, like that was like their laugh, I guess. Oh. But like it was getting to the point where it was really distracting. And then during the show, I like opened the window in my scene. I was like, "Who the fuck is screaming?" And then they stopped completely, and then they like, stopped for. And I felt horrible because I was like, "Oh, they were having fun, and I ruined it." And I thought it was funny.
Well, that is funny, especially the space work of having to.
It was yeah. right in front of their face. But they got self-conscious.
I remember there was one time I did ASCAP monologues and you were one of the improvisers, and like I said like something about like a shitty baby, like I said the term shitty baby about something, and then like you ended up doing like I forget who else was in the thing, but someone was like pregnant and I was like, I have bad news about your baby, it's a shitty baby. Look at this sonogram.
And
then you like got it, you had it just like you're just like
it was just a shitty baby.
It was so fucking good.
That was fun.
Oh my god, I miss ASCAT. I haven't done ASCAT in like
you
5 years.
Do it.
Yeah,
you do it?
I would love to.
Yeah.
I would love to do
you
a little monologue.
It's fun. Just email Susan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll tell her too.
I'll prepare some bits.
No.
Wait, what?
No,
what are you supposed
free.
To do?
Yeah.
That'd be really fun.
Yeah.
It's a blast.
It's how would you, I mean, I know you said you wouldn't be a good teacher, but how do you, I guess you've just been doing it for so long, but when you get into the moment, does your brain ever kind of lock up, and do you have a thing that just kind of like unlocks it and smacks your higher reasoning out of the way?
I definitely have like I feel like a couple times a year I'll have like a show where I am so in my head and I'm like really self-conscious and like I feel like I'm not being funny, and then it makes you not funny because you're just so aware of it. And usually I can't do anything until after, and then I just hate myself. So I usually can't if I'm on that path, I can't really stop it. But it's rare enough that I don't have to worry about it too much.
Because I almost kind of thought that the push to try to be funny is actually the wrong. You don't want to do that,
yeah.
Right? You just want to represent the information as kind of literally as possible,
totally.
And not. I'm guessing, and not like I'm going to make a great joke right now, because that's not, that doesn't really. Jokes are inherently self-indulgent, and you don't want to suck up the scene.
Yeah. Anytime that you kind of are thinking like, this will be good, it's like it's gonna suck mostly because of your energy. I don't know, like it's like I have to just like kind of try to get rid of that.
Perfect. This will be good.
This will be good.
Well, later they get a load of this.
You thought
you're
gonna
like this.
This is gonna be great.
Yeah.
You keep on smirking to yourself before saying every line. You should probably.
And what do you mean?
Oh me. No, yeah, try to avoid. But yeah, it's usually better if I'm just not expecting anything to happen from it.
Who's in the main ASCAT company now?
It's Matt Besser, Ian Roberts, Matt Walsh, Zach Woods, and then me and Joe Wingert, Sean Conroy. And then we have like Andy Daly and Horatio and I might be forgetting.
That's a fucking killer lineup.
That's an insane lineup.
It's fun. Yeah.
Sean Conroy was probably the scariest teacher I ever had.
Really?
Yeah,
he's intimidating.
Teacher.
I've heard that so many times.
Yeah,
I never had him. But
just he walks in like a like an old professor. Like it's like everyone's in, and for some reason he's just not in the room in the beginning of class. And then like the class starts, and he just kind of saunters in.
Oh yeah.
Where it's like he's about to go. Look to your left. Look to your right. In 1 year, none of you will be doing improv.
None of you.
Yeah,
yeah. Carpe diem.
Yeah, but he's also like so sweet. He's like a big old Santa Claus.
He's
great. He really is.
I love Sean.
But I can see if I was a student, I'd be like, oh, Sean, please like me.
Just like early 20s, and you're like, well, I need your validation.
Yeah.
You're the funniest.
If you don't like me, I'm going to ride a bike on the freeway. I'm in my 20s.
He had a joke I always loved, that if you're traveling abroad, and you're going through customs, and they say, you should never say this. When they go, are you here on business or pleasure? Pleasure is my business.
Yeah, the business of pleasure.
So I definitely want to come. I'll email Susan.
I will too.
And hopefully not fuck you guys up too much.
No.
Because the trick is really just to answer as honestly as possible without thinking about what you're saying.
Right? Yeah, like you'll get like a word from the audience, and then whatever story you think of, you just tell that story. Even if it's not that complete. Like, I mean, we'll have people tell like, you know, a 1 minute story that has like barely any details, and it's fine. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have to be anything.
But details are kind of like...
Details are the best.
Yeah, the best.
One time I was on stage at UCB and someone threw out the word corn kernel and I told a story. Like, you don't want to...
Right, that's the story.
The meta guy.
Yeah. The best route is just to kind of almost at first free associate. Like, if someone says like corn, oh, corn makes me think of, corn on the cob.
Boom, bata boo.
But like, yeah, then like your brain will find a like a route into it. And then like, but the details are what they'll all attach to.
Yeah,
and
we
find
definitely
things.
Need the details.
Yeah. Like, I've told some like insanely sad stories on stage before. And but if you put details in them, they'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know why, but it was just like, you know, you're struggling to find a story. Then you're like, here's a story. And then you start it and you're like, this is a bad story.
Really bad. Everyone
and your brain's
dies.
Like, no. Yeah. And you keep on saying it. I remember one time Besser was just like, he's like, well, thought it was a comedy show.
I feel like I was there for that one.
Yeah. Yeah. They keep on asking me back.
You're great.
I'm fun. It's fun.
No, it's good.
Would you ever go to Broadway?
Oh my God, I would love to do something like that. It sounds scary though. To do so many shows a week. I mean, it's so intimidating, but I think it'd be really fun.
I think after like the third one, you would probably just go into autopilot.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the girls from Orange is the New Black is going to be in The Color Purple now on Broadway.
Oh, wow. Which one?
Kate Mulgrew.
Danielle Brooks. She plays Tasty.
Oh, yeah. Tasty's great.
Yeah, she's amazing.
God damn.
What's your favorite thing to work on? You get to do a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah, I guess my favorite thing right now is doing Clipped, because I really enjoyed the cast was so great. We had so much fun.
Does George Wendt ever regale you with tales of what it was like?
You missed. You
yeah,
missed.
He, yeah, he, yeah, he does.
Well, you heard the jazz. You heard the
jazz. No, that's my big
jazz,
good one about
but I
Cheers.
Know about,
but
like...
I tried to avoid asking him too many Cheers questions because I'm like, I really want to ask a million, but I was like, that's like the only one I really asked him about.
Because I want to know like what the catering was like there, because I heard rumors that it was like fucking lobster every night
from the restaurant upstairs.
From the Bull and Finch.
Yeah, just a set.
Yeah, but it was another show. That had it was in the Battle of Lobster Place.
That's right. That's right, Jonah.
Yeah. I'm so curious, like how he perceives the whole show and the situation, just from his, you know, his career is so amazing.
Yeah,
like,
it's gonna be very.
It must be weird to like be on a new show with all these like young idiots and being, you know, but
I think especially back in those days when network really was a powerhouse.
Yeah.
I mean, and being on a hit sitcom meant that 25 million people were watching your show, 40 million people were watching your
13
show.
13 years.
Was that that long?
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, that's crazy. When we were doing, yesterday Kevin and I were recording the Frasier podcast, and I pulled up the article of when Kelsey Grammer flipped over his Dodge Viper.
Oh my God.
I was like, this is the most 90s thing that ever happened.
That is.
So Kelsey Grammer, and then at the very end of the paragraph, LA Times wrote, the sports car was a gift from NBC for Frasier doing so well.
No, they all got cars. I think like Roseanne, I remember hearing a story about Roseanne getting a car and like, it was crazy.
I think the last time it happened was like Will and Grace. Everybody got a
And that's Porsche. Our creators, so maybe they'll just do that.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
We got you all these pairs of scissors.
But it's like the network going, oh, get all this extra money. Let's give it away.
It's so weird.
They gotta take a loss. They gotta spend that money.
But yeah, it's, I mean, not it's a loss, so though. Different now. I mean, we had our like premiere party last week and or Tuesday. It was a couple days ago, and
it was at Red Lion.
No, it was at someone's apartment. But you know, we just hung out and like, and George, we like, we're all live tweeting because we have to or whatever. And George is sitting there like, how can you guys watch the show while you're doing this? Like, we're not. We're all just like retweeting each other, like looaking down the whole time.
Comment
like,
first, soak in information later.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But it's so weird.
Did anyone watch the show? No.
I was just listening for shit I could tweet. Like,
got a lot of faves, though.
So what's everything that you've worked on in the last year that people... Because you've popped up on so many different things, and I know people... absolutely know your now they especially now with Jurassic World they of course they're gonna it's a lot know more who you are, but what's everything you've worked on in the last year?
I have some stuff that'll be coming out. I did Drunk History as a narrator, so that'll be coming out soon. And I did another period, which
next Tuesday.
Oh my gosh, I want to watch it. I think it's gonna be really funny. I did The Meltdown.
June 30th. You'll be on the second episode.
Yay. When is it? June
30th? So June 30th is the first episode. So
July 6th.
I'm trying to think what else. I did a movie in Mexico around Christmas that's called One Shot, and it was Topher Grace is the lead. And
nice.
It's a fun movie. It's like all about behind the scenes of a Broadway show, actually. You said Broadway. So it's like the as everything was going on right before the show, and while the show's going on, things are going crazy, and we're all running around, and I play what like the little like person with a headset who's in charge of things. And
is that how you do the part?
Just pointing.
You do this. Hello, breaker.
We gave you this part because no one else gesticulated wildly with their fingers.
Well, yeah, she's like, actually, she can't talk. She gets so nervous, so like words don't come out. And she's like, something's going wrong, but it's a fun thing. And so, yeah, we shot that in Mexico City, but it's supposed to be New York, so it's kind of funny.
Sure.
Yeah.
A lot of tax.
It's actually so weird because, you know, I'd never been there. I don't know if you guys have been to Mexico City, but it's like, it's definitely got like highs and lows to it. I mean, there's like some extreme poverty there. And we like rode, you know, in a van to go shoot this movie up this like crazy mountain. And you see people like with like selling tires and like weird things, like crazy, you know, everything poor people were doing in Mexico. And then you pull up and there's just a regular old like studio. Like it's like, it looks like you're just like Warner Brothers. Like it's so bizarre.
That's crazy.
It's just like a sound stage. And yeah, it's
kind of weird. A New York backdrop.
Yeah, well, it all takes place indoors, so they just like, there's just
cool
like
city,
one
though,
outdoors.
Right?
Oh yeah, it was cool. I mean, I had a good time, but I wasn't supposed to like really go out alone much because you get kidnapped and stuff.
Yeah,
and so
that's a bummer.
Still, yeah, so it's a little bit weird.
Don't ride your bike to the beach.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
They shot
it.
A few big scenes in the new James Bond movie in Mexico City.
Yeah,
and then Mexico gave the production like $20 million in tax breaks just to make sure that Mexico City looks like a real fun good time.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
While I was there, I watched like a movie. I only had a few channels on the TV, and like that. What's that movie where it's Denzel Washington and Dakota Fanning, and he's like protecting her from kidnappers in Mexico City? Like, it's literally
Man
what
on Fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so like, I watched that like while I was there. And I was
that's
like,
not a good
job.
Oh.
Oh, you shouldn't have watched that
it's
at
like,
all.
It was the only thing in English. I was like, all right.
It was listening to a comedy in the Mexico City hotel.
Yeah. Oh, this will be fun.
I watched Man on Fire, Taken.
Training Day, all the good comedies. Yeah. All the best ones.
So fun.
And then what else? You worked on Orange too?
I didn't do season 3. So,
you didn't do season 3.
But yeah.
Why didn't you do season 3?
I would have loved to. My character was fired in season 2, and I mean, but it's kind of open-ended. But yeah, I just didn't work out.
They're going to want you back now.
I wish they would. It's so fun.
Now, is that show, you know, I watched the first season of that show, and which I really liked, but I honestly felt like, oh, is this a it didn't. Sometimes it felt like, oh, this is like kind of a wacky comedy. Other times it's like, this is not a comedy.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't really decide.
That's what makes it so good.
Yeah, I know, but
that's
some
life.
I think it was hard to tell that when I came into the show. So, I mean, my first episode was like 6 episodes in, and I hadn't read any of their scripts, so I only had my little like stuff to go on. And I would be like, you know, I'm a corrections officer, so I was like taking it seriously and trying to like be a corrections officer. Yeah. And I know that I don't look like that, but every time I would do something, they'd be like, that was so funny. And I'd be like, oh, okay, that was funny. Okay, because I was trying to be serious. But no, that's good. Yeah. That's good. That's what you want, then that's great. But yeah, and I think over time I figured out the tone a little more because it is very, you know, it totally shifts from moment to moment.
Yeah.
That's why they had such a hard time with the categories with nominations, because it was like, is it a comedy? Is it a drama? Like, it really isn't either. It really isn't. Like,
it's just
dramedy,
a good show.
Like dark comedy
or
something.
Well, there's no good show category.
Right. Can we just put it in the good show category?
Yeah.
Do you want to be nominated for Best Comedy, Best Drama, or Best Good Show?
Yeah.
All of the above.
So, made real eye contact with
all
you.
All of the above.
Yes, Master
but I
Hardwick.
I think season three is a lot more of a comedy. As I mean, there are dark moments in it, but I was watching it this past weekend, and it is like...
Tons more jokes.
It is more, like, I would put it in that category.
Yeah, for sure. But it won't be able to now because they made comedies only half hour.
Wait, really?
That's the category now. It's like you can't have an hour comedy.
Because for the Emmys, it's a drama.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's the Emmys. Like, yeah. It's like, you know, you can't have an hour
interesting.
Comedy.
That's so interesting that they made that delineation.
That's
so
weird. It Why is can't weird. A comedy well, be an hour?
Well, it's because it's, I think it's just, you know, you have more time to.
Because can
like,
anyone sustain that?
That's true.
Much time.
Yeah. I think it's, because it's like, you know, it's tough because it is a funny show and it is a dramatic show, but it's also like taken away from like shows like Veep that are just like funny.
Right.
Those are, that's a comedy.
Well, yeah, I think it's hard. Yeah. If you're comparing them.
Yeah.
But
that's literally what happens.
But then
at an awards.
It can't go against a drama because it's like dramas are dramatic.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they should do a thing where it's like best in show, where it's like you know, at the end of it, all the different breeds go up against each other to find out what is the best show. So I know it's a watch.
Christopher Guest chooses
it's just for you to figure out.
Just
watch.
For me. If someone's not picking for me, I don't. Know
I think
what
that'd
to
be too difficult. I think that's so subjective.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you just don't.
Well, it's called the People's Choice Awards, I believe. They
have yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Best show.
Yeah. Best everything.
Yeah, the coolest.
I voted. Thanks, People.com.
I mean, you know, like with dogs, you can sort of go, well, of this breed. You know, this is the best example of this breed, and it's better of an example of this breed than that dog is of that. I mean, it's like there are stricter parameters, but with entertainment, it's just sort of like, how would you decide? I guess with People's Choice, they just let fucking
what tickles your fun button, you know.
But now it's so interesting to see all of the. I mean, it really is a popularity contest because you see just all the billboards all over town right now for your consideration, for your consideration,
yeah.
For your consideration, because the Emmy voters. Like, you know, most of them, I would imagine, I mean, I think it'd be great if they watched everything that they're voting for, but they probably don't because there's only so much time in a day. And so I'm sure sometimes it's just like, oh, I've heard of that. Click, click, you know.
Yeah.
So
it's so weird. My brother was just visiting and he was like, he was pointing out those billboards because you would never have those anywhere else. But you kind of forget about that when you live here.
Oh,
like, no other city has a for your consideration billboard because they don't give a shit.
Yep.
Well, maybe for like, you know, measures of law.
Right.
Like, yeah, for your consideration. No more, you know. Yeah,
right.
Proposition 12C.
Yeah.
No more shitty
important.
Babies.
No more shitty babies.
Well, Lauren, thank you so much for being here. Never stop laughing.
Aww. Only if you send me flowers with a card that says that.
Yeah.
If there's one thing
so
I can say before I go, never stop laughing.
You never know that you're mine.
Oh, God.
Was it that bad?
Yeah, that was a very cringy story. That was amazing.
It is cringy.
It
is cringy.
A great story
to share. I was young and stupid. Lauren Lapkus, plug anything... Quickly, if you want to plug clip.
Plug your podcast.
Yeah,
plug your podcast,
again. It's called With Special Guest Lauren Lapkus. It's on the Earwolf Network and iTunes and Stitcher and everywhere you can get podcasts. And you can follow me on Twitter at Lauren Lapkus.
And Clipped?
And Clipped is on TBS Tuesdays at 10, 9 Central. Watch it!
I have to say, I'm very impressed. TBS really is like making a run for good comedy stuff.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah. And I think the show is funny and I hope people like it. So
excellent.
Watch it.
Well,
yeah.
Again, open invitation if you want to come to the Nerdist Theater, if you guys want to
cool.
do like just a random improv night or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, you should come to us.
I will absolutely.
Great.
Enjoy your burrito, everybody!
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Why?
If you have T-Mobile 5G home internet, you might be hearing this
Why?
A lot. Why?
Every time your internet slows down during the busiest hours.
Why?
Because your network gives priority to cell phone users.
Why?
Good question. Why not switch to Cox Internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours?
Okay.
Stop the whys and visit cox.com/5G home for details. T-Mobile prioritizes certain T-Mobile phone users over home internet users during times of congestion.